easy for your clients to then take what you're giving them and implement it because it's sequential. It's step by step. They understand it and they're able to then pour their own philosophy, their own trainings, their own personality into the structure that you are providing. Because otherwise, like, what else are you teaching them, right? Some random tactics. That's not, well, some people do that, I guess. But that wouldn't be, you know, my preference to coach anyone. And then I think the last thing too is really as a coach, detaching, right? We all have expectations, and how I function and move in the world is not necessarily how my clients move. And so I also have to remember that I've been doing this for a lot longer than my clients. And so they have resistance that comes up. They have a lot of questions and they might not take action or implement as fast as I would like them to. And so my job is to just be the guide. It's not to place judgment or have expectation. It's really just to say, I'm here and we'll move to the next step when you let me know that you're ready. Because otherwise I'm forcing and there's this tension and it's just not a good situation. So really being able to detach from the outcome of the client, but yet still, you know, taking ownership over them and really coaching them and helping them and holding them accountable, but not taking it super personally when they don't do exactly what I want them to do when exactly I want them to do it.
Yeah, you know, and it's something that I've had to learn many times over. And I've said, you know, you really need to start where your client is at, right? Not where you would like them to be or where you can see them, because we've been through all of that and we know the work that goes into it. But I think we lose some perspective over how hard it is to actually do when you're first trying.
Yeah.
So you have a team of staff all over the place, I'm guessing. And so as the supervisor of those people, how, like, you know, one of the big questions is always around distance supervision is how do you know they're actually doing the job? You know, how can you trust them if they're not just right there next to you? So what ideas?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I have to be honest and forthcoming to say I've never been in a corporate environment. And up until, you know, the last couple of years, I've never really even been a boss or an employee for that matter. So all of the supervision stuff has been very new to me. And I've actually had to reach out to coaches and mentors and trainers to learn how to be a CEO, to learn how to actually supervise other people. I think I've been through enough people to know that, you know, you have to find the right people to fit in the culture. So a lot of the skills that I need are very trainable. Like they're not skills that you would even learn in any school setting at this point. What I needed to do first and foremost was to find people that I liked, that, you know, that we would be friends regardless, that had the same core values as me, that had the same beliefs in terms of how the world functions, the same type of behaviors, so that my culture was really set in the way that I wanted to run my company. And I can tell very quickly when somebody's not a good match for my culture, because I can feel it. And then tension happens and stuff. So in terms of how do I monitor what they're doing, we use a project management software called Asana. And all of the tasks that we need to do go into Asana. And they basically just check them off as they're done. I work with people who work very, very well autonomously. Part of the culture would mean that I'm not hiring people that need to be handheld, that, you know, need to be checked in on or being constantly told that they're doing a good job. We have regular meetings, as any company does. We do meetings 2 times a week. we're available, you know, we're chatting all day. I'm available to them, you know, throughout the day. And I think just like any responsible person, they know that if they don't do their work, they're going to get fired. So, you know, there's always that. But really we use our project management platform. We, you know, each department, so to speak, has projects that they're working on. They're all tasked out with deadlines and they need to meet them. And if they don't meet them, I'm right there. Like, why, what happened? What's going on? And if just like any supervisor, if, you know, if I see that things are slacking or they're not holding up their end of the bargain, then we go through the exact same process that we would if we were physically in an office setting together. There'd be an interview and there'd be, you know, feedback and there'd be supports, you know, and at the end of the day, if it just doesn't work, it just doesn't work. I think that we function the same as we would if we were working in offices. I think perhaps they get more work done because they're able to do it during times where they actually function best. Mm. So if that time for them is super early in the morning and they can work from 5 a.m. until 8 and bang out like a majority of the tasks because no one is interrupting them in the day, I don't care.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter to me when they work. It just matters that they show up for the meetings and they communicate and that the work actually gets done.
Perfect. Yeah. And, you know, again, sort of a big transition for many people that have come from an office environment, right? To be looking at how to manage people through that distance. And, you know, I absolutely agree. I have really found, and using Asana as well, you know, have found that that is an excellent way to stay on top of things with your team. It's a great way to keep ongoing communication because it's right there for you and you can communicate back and forth in it. And we can get assigned tasks too, which I'm sure is something that they like to do.
Absolutely.
So, so I think that, and everything that you have said, you know, around the coaching side and how to be a great coach and how to be that mentor, because I think we all struggle with that, is so important. And underline all that, I'm really hearing how critical the communication side of it is as well. So whatever that communication looks like and how you figure that out between the two of you, that ongoing communication is a must.
Absolutely. And I think when you're distance, it's so much more important because you don't have the energetics of the person. So if you're communicating via text only, you know, everybody has their own stuff going on. And so they can perceive it in the wrong way. And so that ongoing clarification and communication, having meetings using platforms like what we're using like right now, like we use Zoom every day in my business, because sometimes you just need to have that quick conversation with someone. And so we have our like virtual meeting room where we can jump on Zoom and see each other and have that quick conversation. So I think, you know, enhancing your communication skills and really taking into consideration that it's text, and so not to read into it too much, is really important.
Perfect. So, you know, I think our time's wrapping up. Do you have any final thoughts for that community of nonprofit organizations that can help them to be successful in that whole world of online and working with staff that are apart from them?
I think just really being open to the fact that this is the future. Over the last, I would say 5 years, specifically over the last 3 years, social media, technology, it's changed the game for us. It's opened up doors and pathways that would never be possible before. I think that there's so much opportunity on the internet. And, you know, I sort of ask that, you know, don't be afraid of it. There's so many amazing courses and trainings. Pick a strategy and stick with it. But I definitely think that if you're not taking advantage of the platforms that are available, even things like Kickstarter and those types of platforms, you're really missing out and you're doing everyone a disservice because there's so many more people in the world who could know about you, who would want to support you. who would want to help you. And by not utilizing these platforms that are global, you know, you're doing yourself a big disservice.
Nice. Well, I can't tell you actually enough of how much I really truly do appreciate that you would take time out and join me today. It is always so great to hear a different perspective on how things are going. And you know that I wish you really well in your future endeavors. And I stay in touch with you through the emails and the events that you have going and all that kind of great stuff. So thank you again, Lori. Take care. And what I say to my clients all the time is, remember, success is yours.